Our next speaker will be Kenneth Evans, and he will be talking about the fate of nutrient inputs from dung cats. Take it away, Kenneth.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm here to present the fate of nutrient inputs from dung cats. This is on a microspatial scale, so individual dung cats. I'm Kenneth Evans, and I worked in conjunction with Anita Wingeyer, Martha Mamo, Walter Schacht, Pamela Sutton, and Kent Eskridge, all from the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. Here I'm going to go over the project rationale, the hypotheses, some of the study objectives, experimental design results, and then give my conclusions and some discussion on what I found. Grazing strategy has effects on nutrient cycling pathways, especially in low-input systems such as rangelands. So the strategy can affect the spatial distribution of nutrient return and the time of decomposition of the dung pats, and the availability of nutrients for forage production, which is important in grazing systems. And also the abundance and frequency of dung decomposing biota, such as dung beetles. Dung beetles have been documented to be one of the major or primary dung decomposing biotic components. Their effects range from decreased dung pat time or dung pat decomposition time, higher forage yields, greater nutrient content of the forage, and higher fluxes of carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide, and lower fluxes of methane from pats exposed to dung beetles. So some of the hypotheses that can be formed before the experiment are that dung beetles have an effect on the decomposition time of dung pats. They have an effect on the composition and concentration of gas fluxes emitted from those pats, and dung beetles have an effect on the concentration and transfer of carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus into the soil. So the objectives of the study were to quantify the fate of nutrients from these decomposing dung pats with and without dung beetles. So we want to quantify the effect of dung beetles, the magnitude and temporal transfer of carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus pulses into the soil, the concentration of the greenhouse gas fluxes being emitted during decomposition, and the effects that dung beetles and abiotic external variables such as weather have on the dung decomposition process. Here's a look at the experimental design. It was a complete randomized split block design. There were 8 main blocks, and within these 8 main blocks, there are 6 harvest time sub-blocks and 3 experimental treatments. We had a control treatment with no dung application, an exposed treatment that allowed dung beetles to colonize the pats, and then a mesh treatment or no-beetle treatment that excluded the dung beetles from colonizing these pats. We collected on 6 days within the 56-day trial, and they were at days 1, 3, 7, 14, 28, and 56. And this experiment was repeated, it was performed in 2014 and 2015 in the north central region of Nebraska in the Sandhills ecoregion. The dung was collected from the Animal Science Department at UNL, and the dung was collected from steers that were administered no insecticides, so that they had no, we hope, had no effect on the dung beetles. We installed a programmable data logger with a soil sensor array and weather station to monitor the external abiotic variables within the experimental plot. We sampled greenhouse gases using the chamber method, and we performed soil sampling and dung collection there at the site on those days. And there's a look at the treatments themselves. So you see the mesh there on one pat, the exposed pat, and then there's a control there with no pat at all to compare. The soil was collected from four points directly below the pat. They were 1.5 centimeter diameter soil cores from a probe, and we collected four directly underneath and four 30 centimeters away from the pat to determine how far we might see changes in the soil concentration of these nutrients. And in the lab, we measured nitrate, ammonium, water extractable carbon, and nitrogen. We analyzed the moisture content of the pats and the soil, and water extractable phosphorus, and total carbon and total nitrogen by percentage on combustion. So here are some of the results. The first slide here is the dung change in dry mass by percentage from the initial placement. As you see here, there's an oscillatory pattern that is observed in both the beetle and the no beetle treatments. However, in the no beetle treatments, the oscillations are less dynamic and slower in across the harvest time. And you also see variations by month. So in June, the oscillations were lower in magnitude compared to July. So you have and this is by harvest time, so essentially an instantaneous dry mass change velocity, if you will. So I saw dry mass increases, actually small increases in dry mass at days 3 and 14 of the beetle treatment. And these were expanded. These increases you saw in the no beetle treatment at days 3 and 14 usually. And then by day 28, these dry mass change oscillations were stabilized over the rest of the decomposition process. But we only sampled to day 56. So here's a look at the water extractable carbon in the dung. What I saw was water extractable carbon was greatest within the first 7 days, generally, and then saw decreases at day 14. What's interesting here is that in June you saw a secondary increase from day 14 to day 56, which you did not see in July. And there were no difference in the treatments within the dung. So water extractable nitrogen resembled the water extractable carbon pretty closely. So it was highest within the first 7 days, and then a decrease beginning at 14, day 14. And then in June you saw an increase to day 56. And then a decrease over the end of July. Here's a look at dung nitrate. Saw essentially no nitrate concentrations until the last day of June. And you saw appreciable increases in July beginning at day 28. And there were treatment differences in both months. In June, the no beetle treatment showed greater concentrations of nitrate. In July, the beetle treatment had greater concentrations of nitrate within the dung pat. Here's a look at ammonium, and the ammonium concentration peaks were similar across the months, although in June day 3 was the peak concentration. You saw increases in July beginning at day 3, but the peak didn't occur until day 7. And then again at the end of the month you saw increases in ammonium concentration, both in July and June. And there were no treatment differences. Here's a look at the carbon and nitrogen ratio within the dung itself. By harvest time, there were no differences, but there was a significant decrease between day from the beginning of the experiment to the end. So, but it was rather slow, the decreases in carbon and nitrogen ratio over time. So before we go into the soil data, wanted to go over some of the influences that dung has on the soil, or what you would probably see from the published literature. You generally see higher concentrations of inorganic and dissolved nutrients in the pat at the initial stages of placement, and these are quickly transferred to the soil. However, there are recalcitrant or obstinate carbon compounds and nitrogen locked up in those compounds that constitutes the highest fraction of the nutrient pool within dung. So you begin to see mineralization of this carbon and nitrogen sometimes at timescales of greater than 112 days. However, effects of dung beetles have been seen on the soil nitrogen concentrations in as few as 40 days. So it's a fairly long process. Here's a look at some of the subsoil conditions over the experiment. The blue on the left is the June experiment and the soil temperature. The red is July. And on the right, you have the oxygen concentration within the soil at 10 centimeters, which is in blue, and then at 20 centimeters, which is in red. And that top left graph is the volumetric water content of the soil at 10, 20, and 60 centimeters. So at 10 and 20 centimeters, it's pretty responsive, and at 60, it is less responsive with precipitation events. So here's a look at the soil water extractable carbon over time, and as you see, there were slight increases over the 28 day, within 28 days, but the largest increase is you see at day 56 in June. However, over July, you see the increase in water extractable carbon over the first 4 days, which is rather small, and then you don't see that large peak at the end of day 56. Which seemed to correspond well with the water extractable carbon within the dung in July, which tailed off at the end. There was a treatment difference in June, with no beetle being greater than the beetle treatment, and you saw that in the nitrate concentration within the dung itself also. You didn't see that treatment difference in the water extractable carbon within the pad itself. Sorry. Here's a look at the water extractable nitrogen in the soil. You see a similar peak in water extractable nitrogen within the soil beginning at day 14. However, in June, the peak was larger than in July. And in July, you saw treatment differences with beetle being exhibiting greater concentrations of water extractable nitrogen within the soil throughout the peak. So the peak of water extractable nitrogen began sooner at day 7, and was larger and lasted longer. You saw it, the peak continue until day 28, or through 28 to day 56. Looking at soil nitrate, you see a similar peak in June and July as you did in water extractable nitrogen, with the peak beginning in June at day 7, and also beginning at day 7 in July. And then again, the peak was greater in magnitude in June than July, but the treatment effects were seen in July, with beetle again being seen. You see greater concentrations in nitrate from the beetle treatment. Here's a look at ammonium concentrations from the soil collected beneath the dung. We saw a large, very large peak in June at day 7, reaching approximately 150 parts per million, which is not what I would expect. But you see a similar peak in July on day 7. There were the dung treatments in June were the same, but they were greater than control. In July, the beetle treatment again is larger on day 7. And then the two dung treatments, there were no differences between them after that. But the peak goes from day 7 to day 28, which you saw in nitrate and water extractable carbon. So some of the conclusions from the results here. Due to the change in dry mass, the trends we see, the majority of mass loss in the dung pads occurs after day 28. Water extractable carbon in the soils is well correlated with these changes in dry mass trends in the dung. And also the water extractable carbon treatment effects in the soil were dependent upon the time of the experiment, so whether the experiment was in June or July. So the no beetle being highest in June, the beetle treatment being highest in July at day 56. The treatment differences in the soil with the water extractable nitrogen, nitrate, and ammonium concentration, we observed treatment differences in both June and July, but which treatment was most had the largest concentrations depended on the time of the experiment, whether it was in June or July. And these peaks began sooner in the beetle treatment in July and were larger. So treatment effects on the water extractable nitrogen, nitrate, and ammonium in the soil may be dependent upon the early environmental conditions when you're after placing the pads. And there are most likely some seasonal effects due to the fluctuations in the presence or abundance and frequency of dung beetles. And then the water extractable carbon treatment effects may also be dependent upon environmental conditions over the whole time of the experiment. And there might be some seasonal dung abundance and frequency effects as well. And since complex carbon compound decomposition is so slow, perhaps extending the time of the experiment might be more revealing as to these effects. So this was also part of the NEFA project, and I'd like to acknowledge some of the undergraduate helpers that were there for the experiment, such as Matt and Aaron and Carolyn. Thank you. Do you have any questions?